Hello everyone, my name is Christina and I'm coming to you from Oxford University Press headquarters in Florence, Italy. It is my pleasure to welcome Michael Lacey Freeman for Tea at Five. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Tea at Five. It's interesting, the title, Tea at Five. We chose it because it's something very stereotypical, the idea of having a cup of tea at five. In reality, we have cups of tea at 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, but also 6, 7. We have tea all the time. It's true that people are drinking coffee more nowadays, but tea is something else in Britain. It's a way of showing friendship and offering hospitality. It's a way of saying, I care about you. I care about your problems. I want to make you a cup of tea. I want to offer you a cup of tea. It's something that has such a strong meaning. I wonder if there is something similar in Italy. Is it an ice cream, or is it a coffee, or is it something else? So we chose Tea at Five for this reason, because it's something which can open up a whole host of questions and give us a chance to talk about these cultural paradigms, about how much they connect with our lives and how significant they are, and how much of it is true and how much of it is not so true. As with all stereotypes, you know, this happens. So Tea at Five, I think, is a nice title for this moment for the podcasts. And in these podcasts, I want to begin every single one with a story. So now I'd like to begin in this way with our very first story. Oh, I'm so happy that you're listening to this podcast, the very first podcast of Tea at Five. I mean, you know, I know maybe you've got better things to do, maybe you're very busy, and so if you don't have time, I'll understand if you don't want to listen to me. Are you still there? Really? You're still listening? Oh, thank you very much. Well, maybe I could share with you a story. My very first months in Italy, about my first attempts to get to know people and to invite people and to make friends. I remember one evening I was in a call box and I put the coins in the machine and a woman answered the phone. I was phoning up a woman called Barbara, because I wanted to ask her out for a pizza. And so I started. I didn't know Italian very well, but I said something like this. Oh, ciao, Barbara. Hey, Michael. How are you? I spoke to you last night. Do you remember? I was wondering if you'd like to go out with me for like an ice cream or un gelato. But if you can't come, don't worry, non c'è problema. I'm going with other people as well, and I can find somebody else who would be happy to come with me. So don't worry if you can't come. No problem, no problemo. I was getting more and more worried with my invitation as it went on, because I could hear no noises from Barbara. No noises like this of which I thought maybe she is no longer on the line. You know, maybe she's hung up. But then I heard her, and she said, I'm sorry, I don't speak English very well. And that was that. And I said goodbye, and I went away. But I wasn't too discouraged, because I thought, well, obviously it must be because I don't understand Italian. It's the language of Italian that I don't understand, not the language of love. So when I improve my Italian, I'm sure that I'll have more success with the girls. But I didn't. And my Italian improved over time, but still, when I asked a girl out, they would always say no. I would be able to say things like this in perfect Italian. Would you like to come for a pizza on Saturday night? If you want to come, it's great, but no problem, because you know, if you can't come, it doesn't matter to me. It's absolutely no problem. I'll probably go with somebody else as well, some other friends. So if you don't fancy coming, it's the same. It's the same. It's the same. I only realized what I was doing wrong. What I was really doing wrong when I went back home to England after about 6 months. And I went with a friend back to Britain and I saw my mum. I hadn't seen my mother for 6 months. And she said to me, "Michael, I'm so happy to see you. I'm going to the centre this afternoon and I'd be very happy if you come with me. But if you can't come, if you want to go around with your friend, no problem. No problem at all. I'm going with Bonita, my best friend, and I'm going with your Auntie Pam. So you feel free to do what you want. It's the same for me. It's the same. It's the same." My friend turned towards me and said, "Your mother hates you." And then I realized what I was doing wrong. Of course, my mother didn't hate me and doesn't hate me. She was just doing what British people often do when they invite. They give you a chance. They give the person who is invited the chance to say no. They give them what is called an out, a way out. But if you do this to an Italian, the message is totally different. The message you give is, "I don't really want you." And that's when I realized that I had to change my way of inviting people. It wasn't just a question of language. It was also a question of understanding the culture behind it. And so from that day, my invitations became a little bit more Italian. And I started to create this impression, which was a real impression, a sincere and honest impression, that I wanted the people to come, to accept my invitation. So maybe I should change the way I began this story. Maybe I should, if you noticed the way I began this story, it was in a very British way, a very British way indeed. And I'm glad that you didn't stop listening because of it and you carried on. It gave me a chance to share this very first story with you on the podcast. We've talked about inviting, but what about being invited? That for me at the beginning was a problem because I just couldn't say no. That normally is a good thing. Yeah, because of this, I did lots of interesting things and saw many interesting places. Sometimes doing things that I would never think of doing normally. And so, you know, generally speaking, it was a positive thing for me. Even like being invited to dinner. People would very kindly invite me to dinner. And at the beginning, I had some difficulty with some of the terms used to describe the dinner. Often people talk about dinner, cena. Most people don't say cenone, they say cenetta. And I understand why they do this now, because they're saying, in a way, it's no big deal. It's don't worry, it's just a small gathering of people, friends. It's nothing formal. At least I think that's what it means. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I just thought cenetta meant small dinner, meaning a very small portion of food, which was fine by me, as long as I know I like my food. So that the first cenetta I had, the first invitation I accepted to dinner, I thought I'd better eat before going, because otherwise I'll be hungry and I'll eat something before. So I had my own little cena before setting off for the person's house to have dinner. There were four or five of us there, and I soon realized my mistake when a plate of tagliatelle the size of a small mountain arrived in front of me. This was not a small dinner. It was actually an enormous. But, you know, I was young and had big appetite, so I managed to finish it, even though this was my second dinner. And then the hostess, she asked me a question. She said, "Buon altre due, would you like another couple?" Now, this is another interesting thing. Now, what's polite? Is it impolite to say no? Is it better to say yes? I decided to play safe and to say yes. Two tagliatelle I can eat. Two tagliatelle. And of course, another mountain of tagliatelle arrived in front of me. And I realized then that actually numbers, you have to be careful with numbers. Don't take them literally. An altro due can mean anything. And also with quantities. I remember my first shopping expedition at supermarket in Italy. And I didn't have any Italian at all then. I was just hungry. And I didn't know what to... I mean, at that time in 1990, supermarkets weren't that big. And you couldn't really so easily anonymously put things in a trolley. You had to go up to real people and ask them for things. And so I didn't know much Italian. But I knew a few words. I knew the word kilo, which, you know, we didn't use in Britain so much at the time, but I knew the word kilo, and I knew the word for mushrooms, fungi. So I thought, okay, I like mushrooms. And so my first purchase in an Italian supermarket was un kilo di fungi. And I had no idea how many mushrooms this would be, but it was... The lady at the counter gave me a sack that was bigger than the sack that Father Christmas has to put his toys in. And this, being very English about this, I didn't say, no, stop, or anything like that. I said, thank you very much. And I struggled back home with my kilo, with my big bag of mushrooms. And I had mushroom omelette for the first 2 weeks of my life in Italy.
That was award-winning author Michael Lacey Freeman. We really hope that you enjoyed the show. We'd love to hear your comments and suggestions. You can write us at formazione@oup.com or make some comments on our Facebook page or write to enquiries.it@oup.com. For now, this is Christina signing off from Florence, Italy. Have a great day.
I'm the best, I'm the worst, I'm the last, I'm the first, I'm in chains, I am free, I am you.